as we continue with a session entitled One of History's Best Great Adventurers, we have to realize that this is what we're shooting for. We want a great adventure throughout our lives as men, not just partially. So let's look at some observations on the game of life. And this is life, how it generally shakes out from ages 0 to 20, as if it's a game. Remember, game of life. We're doing warm-ups. We're just figuring things out. And you could be great in warm-ups. I remember back in the day when I was playing college basketball, I could dunk hard in warm-ups, throw the ball down. But never, ever did I do it during a game. Never, the opportunity never came for me to do that. And so it's great. Warm-ups are great. You can look really cool doing your layups. You can look really cool stretching. But at some point, there's a game. And that game generally shakes out about 20 to 40, 20 years of age to 40 years of age. That's that first half of play. And a lot of people are great in that section of time. Then at halftime, which is 40 to the age of 50, there's some halftime adjustments. You've watched life. You may have made a lot of mistakes in that first half. Or you may have been amazing. Either or, there's always room for halftime adjustments. And then 50 on out, that's your second half of play. So what are you going to do with that? I'd recommend some books to read. Obviously, the Bible. There's books that are out there that would help you with that first half. Things like Gary Chapman's The Five Love Languages. There's books on the disciplines. There's a book entitled His Needs, Her Needs by Willard Harley. Patrick Morley, Man in the Mirror. Just good stuff. And then there's second half coaches. There's Bob Buford with Halftime. And Morley again with the second win for the second half. So think about that. Think about delving into some books and taking that time very, very seriously. I want to make some observations on how men play the game. Many men are stronger in one half of the game than they are in the other. They have a strong first half. When we look at the Bible, we can see that in the life of David. The golden boy is able to just win the day and win over Goliath. Solomon, fantastic, asking God for wisdom. And just, once again, someone hitting the ball out of the park. But David, second half wasn't that great. Solomon, second half wasn't that great. Then there's those with the strong second half. We got Moses, who in his latter years, even though he was trained to be the prince of Egypt, Moses, just incredible what he accomplished. And then Matthew starts out as a tax collector, ends up one of the writers of the gospel. So some men, on the other hand, live a complete great adventure. And so you look at the life of one of those, and this is that great adventurer that we're talking about, Caleb. His two halves. The first half, if you want to look this up, Numbers 13, verse 1 to 14, verse 32. The key ingredient for his success is a raw faith. Remember that, where he and Joshua are willing, let's go back. They sent his spies into the land, and out of the 12 spies, there's only two that show up with any sort of, let's go take it. God said we can have it. Let's go take it. And Caleb is one of them. And here's a hard truth. Many young men often wander around in life and squander their strengths. And Caleb, if he was doing an exhortation for today's young men, he'd say, take the land. It's a promised life. Don't mess around with things that don't matter. If this is what God is pointing you, the direction he's pointing you, then just do it. And then we see the second half. And in Joshua, chapter 14. Listen to these verses, beginning at verse 6. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, so he said this to him. He says, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot is going to trod shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since that time the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. Now behold, I am this day 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now give this hill country, of which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there." These are those are those giants. "With great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me. I shall drive them out just as the Lord said." Then Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron to Caleb as an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. What a great thing. And here's the key ingredient for that success: a fresh faith. And there's many older men, they often settle in the lowlands. That's a hard truth right there. Many older men, they just settle and they squander their assets. And Caleb's exhortation for today's older men is, take the high ground, the best of life. Don't settle for anything less. And the best of what this great adventurer teaches us is that background is never the deciding factor in life. Faith ground is. Caleb doesn't have the pedigree that so many others have, but he didn't care. He's going to trust God. He's going to believe God. And a real adventurer lives by an inner vision, not by outward circumstances or cultural pressure, and because of that, is richly rewarded for it. Many of man's greatest victories are decades in the making. A great marriage, noble character, healthy, productive children, greatest accomplishments and noble cause. Great adventurers empower the next generation to reach high and do great things. So here are some practical take-homes for the two halves of that great adventure. For you young men that are listening to this, invest regularly in your marriage and make your wife your best friend. Secondly, learn who you are and who you're not. Thirdly, always live within your means. Stay out of debt. Learn to save and give away. Fourth, go for great experiences over acquiring more stuff. Fifth, get to know God personally. Six, never stop fighting for purity and a life of integrity. It's the foundation for a successful second half. Seven, learn to ask for forgiveness from God and others. 8. Develop men friends you can love and be accountable to. Kind of like a personal board. I'm amazed sometimes as I watch young men and who they surround themselves with. These people are so shallow. You are what you surround yourself with. And ninth, start developing and refining a long-range vision, a North Star for your life. Take this land with raw faith. Learn from Caleb. And then B, for you older men, one, don't retire, refocus. Secondly, make sure you know what makes you come alive. Know yourself. Thirdly, build on your strengths. Fourth, clean up unfinished business. Reconcile. Forgive. Apologize. Make necessary restitution. Be willing to do that. Five, discover your noble cause and serve others. Six, invest in younger men, whether you did it right or not. You can teach, even though you've made mistakes, you can teach others. Seven, get to know God if you've left him out of the first half. There's still time to do so. Eight, decide what's fun in the second half and then do it. Yearly, plan two or three memory-making experiences for you and your wife. Nine, keep refining a long-range business for your life. Take this high ground with fresh faith. Here's some questions. What was the most important thing you heard in this session today, and why is that the case? And looking over this past first lessons as you've been listening, what has been the most significant thing you've learned and profited by, and why? So you look back on these lessons that we've been working through in this great adventure. What's the most significant thing you've learned and profited by? And then why?